in Tredegar. Have you got an old telephone kiosk in your neighbourhood that needs a new lease of life? Our reporter Hugh Jenkins has been to the village of Gwynysgor above Prestatyn at the northern end of the Clwydian range to meet John Whiteway, secretary of the local conservation group, to see what they've done with theirs.
Let me show you what we have in our phone box, our information centre as it's called now. And we have a defibrillator, which you can see here. This type of defibrillator is an easy to operate one. You simply turn the box and you take the defibrillator out and deliver it to where the emergency is. We have a leaflet panel here. This tells you a lot about the local village. And on this side of the phone box, we have an information display board which gives some history of the village. All these photographs have been taken from residents in the village. This part here is the well, which isn't in here anymore. And this bit explains a little bit about what's in the village and what to go and see. For example, the church is years and years, centuries old. So that gives you a little bit of a background as to what we have in the village and what to look for.
What was the catalyst for doing this in the first place?
Well, we were aware that we could purchase these phone books for £1. Now, the phone box was very rarely used, so we spoke to BT and we said we would like to buy the phone box on the condition that they left the services in, because we did have in mind that maybe we could have some equipment in here. So, yes, we went through that process and we bought the phone box, and from then we talked to Cadwyn Clwyd about what we could fit in here, and the defibrillator came up. We thought that's a great idea because there's none in the village at all, a defibrillator. It's a central focus point here of the village. We've had the training sessions from the Community Heartbeat Trust, so we're all fully familiar how to use it, and we'll be making arrangements for phone numbers to be available for people to ring up and get the defibrillator sent to their emergency situation.
What else have you got in here?
Right, in this corner you can see the symbol of a bicycle here, and this is used for bicycle repair kits. Inside here we have a repair kit, spanners and things like that, but most essentially we have a pump. Which can be used for, obviously, repairing punctures. You can see it's got pretty good pressure on that pump. It's a very popular area for cyclists, particularly having the pub next door here. So we thought it wouldn't be a bad idea to have some sort of equipment here for the cyclists to use in an emergency. And all the cycling clubs have been actually informed that this kit is here to use in an emergency. And we have a small contribution box there if they'd like to put something in it as well.
So what are your next steps?
We hope to be able to give it a real smarten up with the paint. We've got the traditional red paint, red pillar box paint, and all that will be done in the spring and summer. Before then, we will have the shelf, which I'm at the moment modifying it, for book loan club, for the local people to borrow books and put books in.
It's a great achievement to have got this phone kiosk forever in the village.
Well, I agree, and I think we have to appreciate the help that Sarah from Cadwyn Clwyd has given us on this project.
Hi, I'm Sarah Jones. I'm the Natural Resources Officer from Cadwyn Clwyd.
So this is one of many phone boxes that you're involved with?
It's one of 15 across North East Wales, so Flintshire, Denbighshire and Wrexham. This particular one in Gwynysgor, it's actually been able to draw down two pots of money here, because it's part of the defibrillator project that we're running, and also the tourist information regeneration project. So for each part of those projects, it's around about £2,500 to £3,000 it's drawn down of project value. Made up of that, 30% of those costs we have to find match funding through for the projects.
How does this one differ from the others?
This one differs primarily because it's part of the defibrillator group, so we're able to put one defibrillator in each county. Also, each kiosk has a tourist information panel that's specific to their local community. So it's different information on there, a different slant on the information as well. It really is down to the community's input into the panel. But also it's the slant on, you know, how they want to use the kiosk, because one of the other kiosks in Glyndwrdwy on the A5, they're using mainly the back panel as a library rather than just a shelf for some books. They're really heavily involved in that as a book swap library. And then we're hoping to work with one other community in Denbighshire where they want to use, because it's next to the primary school, to use it as an art display for the school pupils. So there's different things that the communities want from their kiosk.
What do you hope the project will achieve?
I hope this project will get many more communities involved in looking after iconic structures within their community. For example, this Gwanuska kiosk, within the last year or the last couple of years of the phone being in position, it was only used once on record. So it needed a new use in the modern day, really.
New use for an old phone box at Gwanuskon in Denbighshire. And the best place in Wales to see hooper swans has recorded record numbers of the birds this season. The Towy floodplain near Llandeilo has attracted the swans in reasonable numbers for many years, but this year has surpassed all expectations. I joined Gary Harper, chief bird recorder for Carmarthenshire, on the banks of the River Towy to see if we could spot some hoopers.
In 20 minutes, standing on Kilsand Bridge, I've seen a kingfisher, an otter, lots and lots of geese, but unfortunately just canidas and greylags. Our hooper swans, which we want to see, unfortunately are two or three fields upriver. But I have managed to find a family party just very close to us, which we're going to go in to see now. It's two adults and two youngsters. How long these swans are going to be here now, I don't know, because obviously sort of spring is advancing and by the end of March they should all have gone. You know, they've come a long way from Iceland to spend the winter with us because it's a lot milder here, believe it or not. And of course they feed on the grass. They're like flying sheep because they chew away in the grass. They love the grass. I spoke to a farmer recently who said that sort of he doesn't mind the swans eating his grass, but it's all the geese he's got problems with, he said, you know. But they're resting now. We've got, if you look there, you'll see the adult with the yellow and black bill.
Yeah.
And the youngster then sort of grey-white alongside it.
Very striking,
yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they're very striking. And sort of, they make a superb sound. You hear them calling, they're flying over. This whooping sound is fantastic, you know. But unfortunately, the ones we want today are too far upriver. They're not calling.
How rare are hooper swans?
They're uncommon in Wales. Sort of, there are only two or three places you're likely to see them. This is probably the best place now, because in the past, this place was very good for Bewick swans, which come from Russia. But they've disappeared and been replaced by hooper swans from Iceland. We did have a bird here, it's going back a while, and back to 1995. It had a neck ring, a neck collar, 2J36. So it became quite famous because you could see it quite easy, pick it out straight away. And that was put on its neck in Iceland. It came back and forth to the same field here for 10 years. And we were all quite sad then when it didn't turn up one winter because, as it succumbed to the weather, or as it succumbed to old age, who knows, you know, but it didn't make it back here.
Why is it, do you think, that they like this particular spot? Is it the good green grass of the Towy Valley?
It's the feeding, yes, it's sort of the grass. What happens, of course, is the Towy regularly floods onto the field, so all the nutrients and things get onto the grass. The grass is obviously then in a very good sort of condition. The birds like it. Obviously, the farming likes this part of the world, so there's thousands of sheep here, so the pasture is very good. And hooper swans like this particular area, it's safe for them. Four greylag geese flying over there. Very noisy.
How are the hooper numbers doing here? Are you busy counting?
Yeah, I count them every month. I do what's called a wetland bird count from Nantgaredig Bridge to Kilsand Bridge, and what we call this is called the Towy floodplain. I'm basically count all the birds, all the wildfowl I see in that section. There's an account coming up on Sunday now, the last one of the season. Hoopers, as I said, back in the 90s, early 90s, were quite rare in the county. The Bewicks with the calling swan. They've disappeared. The hoopers have taken over, and every winter we'd have about 20 or 30 would come to this particular section of the valley. But for some reason this winter, they've been up to 69, I think is the highest count we've got this year, or this winter, and that is much higher than we've ever had before. So they're obviously attracting other hoopers in. In North Wales, there's a small flock, and you get scatterings of ones and twos around the country now and again, but no great numbers. They're quite an uncommon bird in this part of the world.
As an avid member of the Carmarthenshire Bird Club, is it a bird that you get excited to see every
Absolutely,
year?
Absolutely, yes, because you know it's kind of come October, you come up here and think, are the hoopers back yet? And you think the journey they've taken, they've got come all the way from Iceland over the sea. And then you get here then and you see them here and thinking, how many youngsters here? How many youngsters have they been after a successful breeding season? And then you count through the youngsters. And unfortunately, there's not an awful lot of youngsters. Perhaps there's only 9 juvenile birds here. So there's not a lot. Who knows? It could be sort of mortality back home in Iceland. It could be the journey is too much for some of them. But nice to see a little family party down the bottom there now, you know. So hopefully they'll be okay.
And we're seeing them just in time because you said they're probably just about to leave Wales.
Well, by the end of March, they'd probably be gone. We might get a few stragglers into April, but they tend to leave by the end of March. They'll be well on their way north. Back to lovely Iceland.
Gary Harper, I think it's been colder here than in Iceland recently. I think the swans will be glad to go home. And that's it for this week from me, Rachel Garside, and the Country Focus team. Thank you for your company. You can hear Country Focus every Sunday morning on BBC Radio Wales at 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening.